Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I've come across a term recently, micro shifting. But what is micro shifting and how can it improve our work-life balance? Because that is the promise. Is it the future of work? Well, to tell us all about micro shifting and how it might improve our lives, we've got Damien McCarthy, founder and managing director of the human resources consultancy firm HR Buddy. Hey, Damien, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
What is micro shifting?
Okay, so micro shifting is a relatively new workplace trend, and we need a hashtagable work trend nowadays for everything, don't
yeah.
we? An awful lot of, the other ones like quiet cracking and quiet quitting and all that were actually old practices just given a new term and put on social media. Micro shifting is a bit different. It is actually a new practice because really it has only existed in the new world of flexible work. And micro shifting is where a worker would break up their workday, almost like mini shift patterns. So it's really to help achieve work-life integration. Okay, so the micro shifter might rise at 6 a.m. in the morning and get in. Working parents are a very good example of yeah. this. You know, it helps them kind of integrate their responsibilities with their kids and extracurricular activities, dropping them off at school, and, you know, integrating, you know, that kind of work-life integration. So they might do 2 hours of work in the morning. They might do the school run, get the kids up, get them off to school, come back for 3-4 hours, do some work in the afternoon. Maybe they might collect.
You keep on saying they might, and that's what the employer is thinking. They might do it, and they might not do it.
Yes. Okay. Well, look, what I would say about micro shifting is it's almost something that the worker needs. Okay. It's almost kind of out of desperation. I think I would be careful about saying micro shifting will give you work life balance. It doesn't, because if you have an employer who is flexible, who understands maybe your caring needs or that you're, you know, a busy working mom or a busy working dad, and they agree to this kind of micro shift pattern style of working, we have to be honest and say what's actually happening at the start of that relationship is your employee is signing up to double jobbing. So take a working mom. You rise at 6 o'clock in the morning yeah. to do 2 hours of work. You then get your kids out to school. You come back to, you know, your busy work life again. Now it's flexible. It's great. You're very happy. You think this is a great arrangement and it's a win-win. Then you collect the kids, you do the homework, you bring them to soccer and basketball, all this. Now you come back, you're absolutely wrecked. It's back to another 2 hours in front of the laptop.
Yeah, but it changes as good as a rest often, you know, just to get a break from. If you're sitting in front of a screen all day normally and you do it over a period of 7 or 8 hours every day, many people make excuses not to do that. They go off to the kitchen, make a cup of coffee. They do anything. Yes. Go out to the garden, listen to the birds, take a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
They break it up.
Well, I absolutely agree with that as well, Pat. And I suppose, you know, there has been an awful lot of talk about remote working and flexible working this week. It's grabbed the headlines again from, you know, certain commentaries from...
Dennis O'Brien.
Yeah, Dennis O'Brien, you know, came out very strongly against remote working and flexible working. And I suppose, especially young people, feeling that it's their divine right.
He also said, and this is maybe a critique of your profession, that there are HR people who just want remote working for themselves, and so it becomes company policy.
Yeah, well, look, HR always gets the blame, Pat. We're well used to it. I think, you know, you can criticise whoever you want, but I think that one was maybe a bit of a yellow comment. I didn't really like it, obviously. But like what HR professionals are doing is they're trying to accommodate an entire new world of work. It's very complex. I think, unfortunately, the debate, and Dennis O'Brien's comments earlier on in the week, they could have been made in 2020 or 2021. It's like we're not moving forward in the discussion. We're not talking about individualized styles of working.
No, but he did make another point about a generation of graduates coming out who feel entitled. In other words, and maybe this is as it should be, that employees are interviewing the employer. What can you give me?
Yeah,
instead of the other way around.
Yeah, and look, on the other hand, I think, you know, the commentary earlier on in the week was very narrow and was very general. And on both sides of the argument, we can't have that. I mean, we need to start working this out. We're kind of 5-6 years into these working arrangements now. And I actually happen to agree with almost everything except for the comment on the HR professionals that Dennis O'Brien said, because I can't dismiss any of his points. But on the other hand, I would make the argument that if you completely diss remote working, that's just not reality. That's not going to happen. What we need is leadership, and we need to be able to manage it properly. And I think that that's what the big business leaders should be doing.
One of the modern diseases, they say, particularly of the younger cohort, is isolation, not being able to make a phone call, not being able to have a face-to-face conversation. They've been buried in screens for too long, particularly during COVID and all that. And that really, they need to learn. They need to be apprenticed into the human condition, if you like.
Yes. Well, look, at the end of the day, Pat, I'm a believer in the employer being in charge. Okay, and some people mightn't like that comment or that commentary from me, but organisations and employers should remain in charge. Okay, and there is a battle for power and control that's happening and being played out in the media, in particular, at the moment. But some people are suited to remote work. Some people need flexible working. Working parents need it, and it's important, I suppose, that employers can also provide it. But I agree, definitely, young people, and I suppose an awful lot of people have said that this week. They need to, you know, I suppose, learn their profession inside in workplaces, you know, facing experienced work colleagues. We've come across a load of instances where, I suppose, young people are distracted, as we mentioned there earlier on, that attention span isn't there, smart technology is impacting the way we operate every day, phone conversations and the ability to be able, you know, to feel the customer service call or sales call isn't there, and that is a huge problem. So I suppose, like, I would agree with Dennis O'Brien in that we do need to take charge, and employers do need to be in charge of their people.
Now, there are other structural things happening generally within the economy, within society as a whole. And that is, you talk about care, and we think of, in this context, it's young working parents, the male, the female, whatever, working outside the home and working inside the home and trying to balance all of that. But there is also, for those who have other responsibilities, like aging parents or someone with a disability, and structurally, society is not taking care of those as it perhaps once did.
No.
And that gives rise to another need for that micro-shifting, to be able to do a bit of caring,
yes,
appropriate caring, and also to be able to earn a living.
Yes, and there are a certain cohort of workers, obviously, in our country, who have care on both sides. They're caring for young children and they're caring for older parents. And they're trying to pay the bills, keep their careers going as well. So, look, like, everything can't be the employer's responsibility either. This is where we need better government initiatives to caregivers, okay? Because, unfortunately, what's happening is this has all been thrown into the remote working argument, and it's turning into kind of, you know, attacking remote working or being pro-remote working, and you're either wrong or right. And we're continuing to have kind of immature and insecure conversations and commentary surrounding flexible working and remote working. And I think that's a big pity when we're kind of 6 years now into this project. It needs to move on. You can criticise HR professionals if you want. It's a very easy comment to make. But I think we need better leadership from government with regards to initiatives on this.
There is, of course, the problem for those who cannot remote work or have hybrid working. I drive a bus, for example. You know, I paint a house.
Yes,
can't do that from my kitchen.
Yeah, and like, if they're listening this morning, like, you'll get someone who's maybe going in for the weekend working 4 7-to-7s inside in healthcare in one of our hospitals around the country, and they're listening to me talking about micro-shifting, and they say, like, will you go way out of that? Like, they're what? You want people micro-shifting now?
But they look at their managers perhaps micro-shifting.
And
they feel resentment.
Well, that's a huge issue, Pat. This is coming up all the time now, where you need people in the workplace physically every day, and the people who are in charge of them are at home working remotely. And, like, that's not good leadership. This is constantly coming up. So, you know, I mean, organisations have to look at that as well. If you want the trust and the buy-in from your people, and that's the way you're operating, you're going to have problems.
The final thing is something else that Dennis O'Brien said when he predicted that a downturn is not that far away. In a downturn, who gets axed first? The people who are working at home, I think.
Well, possibly. I would say that always employers will keep the best people. And I have always said that it doesn't matter where you work. If you're doing your job well, it doesn't matter whether you're at home. If it can be facilitated, you may still be better. I mean, an awful lot of people go into the office.
Maybe for someone who has to let people go, it's easier to let go of the people that you never see. Harder to let go of the person that you eyeball every single day.
Well, I accept that point. And people in the office perhaps will have better relationships with the people who are making those calls, Pat.
Or perhaps worse relations, you never know. Anyway, Damon, it's a very interesting topic. Micro-shifting, it's called, but it's a label for something that's always been a battle, I suppose, for many workers. Damian McCarthy, founder and managing director of the human resources consultancy, HR Buddy. Thank you very much, Damian, for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.